cute stories, we can say a lot of truth, but it needs to be biblical truth. It needs to be based upon the Word of God. And so, as one of the things we're always seeking to do here is that we might understand marvelous, marvelous book we call the Bible. I can't read my thingy here, but I hope I'm going to be on track. The Bible is God revealing Himself to man. And I believe there's a couple of reasons for that. Certainly we find creation reveals the power of God, but we don't learn much about His nature or His attributes. And we certainly can do that from the Word of God. Now, there's a couple of things that we gain as the God of the Bible is revealed to us. One is we can be saved. If there's something you and I need from all of this, is to put our trust in a living Savior. And so we find He wants to reveal Himself that we might be saved. Now, most in this room, I would like to think maybe all, but if you're not, I hope you get saved today, that God wants us to mature in Him. He wants us to grow. Isn't that true? And everyone is expected to do that. If you have a baby that is born and does not mature properly, doctors and parents get very nervous and very concerned and sometimes try to do some kind of measures to take to help that situation. And so God wants us to mature. Now we're going to find something, and that is that every person, every man, woman, child, they are one of three categories as we think about spiritual maturity. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 14, I read, I think it's four verses, and listen to what it says here. But the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He's not able to know. He has not a spiritual nature. The next verse says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For of whom hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we find the natural man. We find the spiritual man. Go into the next chapter, verse number 1. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you. Speaking to the Corinthians, he says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So we find that there are three different kinds of people. All of us fit into this category. The first one of those we find is the natural man, the natural man. And we find a number of things about this natural man. One of the things we find is he is depraved. There is not within him any goodness. Romans 3:10 says, as is written, there is how many? None righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So the natural man, he's depraved. He is one who does not have the Spirit of God within him, and he basically follows the dictates of the world, the flesh, and of Satan. He's depraved. Secondly, we notice that he is directed. And I hope I can help you understand what I mean by this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Notice what it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So how are they walking? In the course of the world. What? According to the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan. And we go on verse number 3 and says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we notice there's three things about the natural man here, and that is that he is one who follows after the course of this world, okay? And all of its temptations. We find also Satan has great influence in his life. I think he does it mostly through the world and also then through the power of the flesh. If you're saved today, you realize the flesh, or you should realize, has tremendous power. It messes you up constantly. And that thing directs us. Well, the devil is in control, and he seeks for man to carry out every whim of the flesh. He's seeking to direct him in that direction. Something is said about the devil in John chapter 8, verse 44. Interesting verse says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh of the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And how does he control us? Through falsehood, okay? Through lies. He does not do so through truth. That's why you and I need truth so desperately in our lives. We not only find that, but we find also that we are in darkness. In darkness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4, the Bible says this, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." They are in darkness. They cannot see spiritual things. And so the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit, because he does not have him living within him and teaching him. It's just that simple. He's considered to be dead in his trespasses and sin. This morning you walked out, no doubt, and maybe you got one of those little buttons, but you walked out, you put a key in the ignition switch, and you turned that ignition switch, and something took place. Juice from the battery went to a starter that started to whirl the engine, and the cylinders began to fire, and sometimes we call that firing it up. Okay? And it's like, listen, if you and I are a natural man, we're like a car without a battery. Everything is available, but nothing to start it. I believe that's why he calls us dead in our sins and trespasses. Now, this particular person, this natural man, though he may appreciate some parts of worship, for the most part, it is foolishness unto him. It's like a blind man ridiculing art. And, oh, he might think, oh, that is so sweet, that's so wonderful. But for the most part, he sees it as foolishness. Yesterday, in doing this, I was looking at some old pictures when I was in Costa Rica. And every time I've been there, Brother Todd always takes me to this one town. I can't remember the name of the town. But the cathedral of Costa Rica is in this town. It takes up what we would probably look at as three square blocks. And one square block of that is actually this, whatever they call it, cathedral. There are one huge area. It's about two blocks long and a block wide. Is just a courtyard outside. Most of it's paved in brick. I've never seen this, but he told me about it. I've seen part of this. And that is, at certain times of the year, there will be people who go through religious acts. They start at one end of that, crawl on their knees across all of that brick courtyard, up to the steps, and go up the steps on their knees. And believe it or not, that aisle that goes from the back clear down to the front is, probably a good short block anyway. It's not a close thing. I've actually seen that take place on the inside. So they go through all of these formalities, and a lot of people look at that and they think, man, that's wonderful worship. You can walk around that cathedral. You can see all sorts of what they call stations of the cross. I don't know what all that means. But there's a number of those, very elaborate, adorned with all sorts of things. And it's simply, quite frankly, unbelievable. And so they like the worship. But for the most part, spiritual things are foolishness unto them. When they get off of their knees and do them through the particular things, off they go on their way. Well, not only do we find that he's in darkness, but we find also that he is doomed. And the horrible thing about the natural man is hell is certain because he is under condemnation. John chapter 3, verse 18, what does it say? He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's a hallelujah verse to that spot. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. When you and I are born, we are born condemned. We're born a natural man. And the only way that condemnation is lifted is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The natural man, he's doomed. And as a result, we also know he's dead. There's just no battery. There's another one, and that is the spiritual man referred to there in 1 Corinthians. Why is he called the spiritual man? When you get born again, you're born of the Spirit. Is that not true? We'll see that this morning, this morning's message. We're born of the Spirit, and our spirit becomes enlightened, or enlivened, if you please. And so now there's a new part of you. Before you're saved, you're basically body and soul. And your soul follows the dictates of the flesh. Whatever the flesh wants, that's what you do. And you seek to appease that appetite. But when a person gets saved, there's something else that takes place, and you have that spirit within that is now enlivened. It is that spirit within us, our spirit bearing witness with his spirit. Because he lives within us, we are now able to comprehend spiritual things, and it shows up in our lives. 1 Corinthians, not sure if that's what I got there. Chapter number 2, verse number 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us as freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You may remember, it was last week or maybe Wednesday night, I tried to help you understand there's a difference between reading your Bible and studying it. Reading it, we pick it up, we go from one verse to the next verse to the next verse, and we seek to understand the content that is there. Studying the Word of God is taking the contents of this and comparing it somewhere else, comparing Scripture with Scripture. In other words, we're trying to find out, perhaps with a particular subject, what does the Bible have to say about that subject? If you've read the book of Proverbs very often, you know that there are verses in Proverbs that talk about the foolish man. And you'll find those scattered throughout the book of Proverbs. So if you want to get a good idea of what a fool is, what a foolish man is, you can read the entire book, but you pick out those verses that are dealing with the foolish man. And you begin to compare those, and you can get an idea of what God's trying to teach us of the overall picture of a foolish man. By the way, that's a whole lot of what preaching becomes, is taking and doing exactly that. So you're comparing Scripture with Scripture. Book of Proverbs, I think, is a tremendous book to help us understand that concept. Actually, there's four men in the book of Proverbs that you can see it all the way through. There's the simple man, and there's the wise man. And for the life of me, I forgot the last one. Scornful. Yeah, scornful man. Thank you. And you can go all the way through, and you can begin to understand what God is trying to teach us about that. So we're comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The spiritual man, he can do that because the Spirit now lives within. And he's going to help us to understand. The spiritual man, he's going to be one who lives by the Spirit. So what do you mean by that? Well, what did the Spirit of God do for us? Back in the book of Genesis, we find he moved upon the face of the waters. But we also find from the Word of God that the Spirit of God is he who gave us the Word of God. Holy men of God were moved by the Spirit, and thus they wrote down what he said for them to write down. And so if we're going to live by the Spirit, we allow the Word of God through the Holy Spirit to guide us. That's the spiritual man. This is the fellow not only lives by the Spirit, but he learns by the Spirit. And he can begin to understand the Bible. And I put on my notes, as needed. I got to stay up myself on this. In John 16:12, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot hear them now. So as we grow in Christ, as the Spirit of God teaches us, we're not all going to grow the same. If we look at each other's physical attributes, we find that everybody's a little bit different. I always chuckle. Somebody says, well, he looks just like so-and-so. And I think, oh, yeah, they got two eyes, one nose, and a mouth. A lot of similarities. But there's great differences. Somebody says, well, he looks just like his daddy. Well, he's got his own little peculiarities. And so as we grow in the things of the Spirit, he's going to add to us those things which we are ready for. If you read through the Word of God once, you got some things. But when you went back the second time, you got some things you didn't get previously. True? And the third time, you get some things you didn't previous to that. And the fourth time, you might just get a bunch of review because you forgot the things you got the first time. True? But God has given it to us as we can handle it. It's just that simple. There are things that you just do not have comprehension for yet because God is building a base. And then he builds upon that. But the Spirit of God takes those things and helps us to understand as it is needed. So the spiritual man, he lives by the Spirit of God. He's allowing the Word of God through the Holy Spirit to guide him. He finds from the Bible what he's to do. The Spirit of God places that in his heart, and off he goes. I always chuckle about something. Sometimes I hear people say, especially if there's some sort of sin or whatever in their life, they say, well, I'm not convicted of that yet. Well, it's said in the Word of God, and you have the Holy Spirit in your life, that's a cop-out. Because the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and shows you. Amen? I had a guy years ago, he said to me, he says, he's telling me it's okay to smoke cigarettes. He says, Bible doesn't condemn smoking cigarettes. There's not any verses in the Bible that says you shouldn't do that. And I looked at him and he said, well, no, the Bible says, be not ye puffed up. A little misconstruing, but I thought, well, it worked. Anyway, we learn by the Spirit of God. And he can understand the Bible. We are liberated by the Spirit of God as well. And I believe that is tremendous. I got to stay up with myself. I'm trying to do something to help or whatever so you can see and also hear. Liberated by the Spirit. So what do you mean by that? Well, if you and I can determine the truth of God's Word by examination and the Holy Spirit can teach us, then we can base our decisions upon truth rather than whims. Isn't that not true? We can decide, hey, this is the right direction to go because God has given me truth. And what does that do? That eliminates something the world is full of. Stress. You see, the Bible says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And the reason we have stress is our mind is upon ourselves and the situations rather than the Savior. And when you and I allow that Spirit to direct us, our life's based on truth, and the thing called stress can be eliminated. You say, I don't believe that. Well, take it up with God. I don't think God's the author of stress, do you? No. We can also, as we find from the Word of God, if I can make my thing work, it's stuck. What's it say up there? What's it say? Okay. The screen I'm looking at is doing some really weird things. Is that just blank? Oh, isn't that pretty? I can't see that one. You folks are having too much fun. I'm really trying to learn something, so bear with me. We're going to start the first screen again, I think. What's up there? I pushed the wrong button. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. My finger is cold, I think, is part of the problem. I forgot where I'm at now. We've been liberated. The filling of the Holy Spirit, right? And the spiritual man, what? He has God's control completely upon his life. By the way, that's a stress reliever too. Amen? By the way, the filling of the Spirit of God is not something you automatically get. Okay? Bible says, be ye filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, we've got to basically say, Lord, you can have it. I'm yours. More than lips, but it's with all intent. And it's allowing the Spirit of God to come in and control. And whatever he shows, you do. The filling of the Spirit of God. The last one I want us to look at, and perhaps what most of the book of 1 Corinthians speaks of, is the carnal man. So we got the natural man, he's lost. We got the spiritual man, he's saved. But then we have what's described as the carnal man. And there's something interesting about this one. He's saved, but mostly unchanged. There's some problems that have developed. What's the problem? The Spirit of God's come to live within, but he's letting his flesh control him and pushing the Spirit of God aside. And there's some things that take place as a result of that. And we need to be well aware of what that is. One, he is defeated. He's defeated. He cannot walk in victory over the flesh. Warfare, he is unable to participate in because the armor or pieces of it are missing. He cannot walk on his own. He must always be riding on the coattails of others. Many years ago, I didn't know what was going on. We had a young man in our church that I thought very highly of. And one day, he came to church and he said, "Boy, you need to be really preaching a good one day. I am really down." And what he was saying to me was, "I'm dependent upon you to put me in touch with God. My job is to train, to teach, but not to put you in touch." And the problem was, he was saved, but he could not get victory over his flesh. Matter of fact, it ended up destroying him. And he was constantly riding on the coattails of others, rather than allowing the Spirit of God to move. By the way, God will take preaching and do that too. God will take his word and do it. He's got many avenues. He will guide you to some good books. There's some tremendous books out there. But by the way, I will tell you this, be careful of what's so-called Christian books. We got a slew of things that are really weird. We find also that this man, this carnal man, is dependent on others for his spiritual food. Kind of touched with that, but he's one who, whatever he gets is from somebody else. You've heard me say it from this pulpit, one of the most easy places in the world to backslide is in Bible school. You say, "Well, how in the world would that be?" Because you begin to, unnoticed at first, to rely upon the spirituality of those who are constantly teaching you. When you're in a class for 3, 4, 5 hours throughout the day, speaking about the Word of God and the things of God, you sit in chapel periods where I was at, the preaching was hot, it was good. And you can begin to get all of your spiritual upbringing, so to speak, out of that, as opposed to allowing the Spirit of God, because you're reading the Word of God and seeking to study the Word of God on your own. Becomes dependent on others for spiritual food. And it's a sad spot. So we, by the way, there's something that's on that screen I really don't like. It's in the lower right-hand corner. And what's it say? Oh, that's on a different screen. When the pictures were up there, there was something on the right-hand corner, it was a time. Hey, praise God, it's not there. The time is 10:34, if you're interested. Okay. So we find that this natural man, not natural man, but this carnal man, he's defeated, he's dependent, but there's one other characteristic. He's divisive. In our text, if you were to read on to verse number 3 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "For ye are yet carnal." He's speaking to the Corinthian church. "For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Whenever you find strife and division, there's always one, if not both, who are walking in carnality. It's according to the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit and I'm walking in the Spirit, we're walking both together, arm in arm, allowing the Spirit of God to direct us. But if one of us allows our flesh to guide us, or some whisper of Satan in our ear to guide us, or the things of this world to control us, we're going to find something taking place. And those who are carnal become very critical of those who are spiritual. And it's a plague in our churches. It's there. I think it probably always has been. Matter of fact, this church in Corinth, that was really the entire thing. They were a people who were divided. And so Paul writes to them to try to help them understand where they are at. And as he does so, he's teaching us valuable truth about ourselves. Are you one who is natural? We mean by natural what? He's been born, but not born again. Is he one who is spiritual, whereby the Word of God is that which is in his heart and mind, and he's allowing the Spirit of God to show him and to direct him? Or is he one who accepted Christ, but he's acting like a lost man? Because he's allowing the world, he's allowing the devil, he's allowing his flesh to guide him, when he could be allowing the Spirit of God. And it's a sad spot. You see, why do we need to study these things and look at doctrine? Because if we do not know what we believe, what do we believe? If we don't stop and look within and see where we're at and understand, hey, there's a Spirit of God teaching me from the Word of God that I can follow and have guidance in my life, it becomes very, very important. And we can go through all the so-called self-help classes we want to, but if we don't have a solid foundation in the Word of God of who we are and who God is, we are missing the boat. And so what am I trying to do? Well, it's always the case, but in this particular instance in Sunday school, one is to understand, like today, where are we at? I cannot determine that for you. I can think I can, but I really can't. I'm not God. And we need to determine where we're at and get ourselves in the right spot. So which man ought we to be? The natural, the spiritual, the carnal? The spiritual. Led of the Holy Spirit as he takes his word and shows us the direction to go. But could we be natural in that we don't have the Spirit of God to direct us? Or could we be saved, but we're saying to God, I'll do it my way, you do it your way? Because of our stubbornness and ignorance, really. And so we need to study, we need to understand what is it we believe. What do we believe about God? What do we know about him? If somebody said to you, who is God, what could you say? So we stop and we're going to look at some of the attributes of God. By the way, there's three words that we often use. He's omniscient. Omni is always a prefix that means all. Omniscient, it's really from the word science, which is knowledge. He knows everything. God knows it all. Here's interesting. Jesus Christ is what? God in the flesh. He knew what people were thinking. God knows it all. How do we learn that? From the Word of God. Amen. There's another big word. It's omnipotent. Omni again is all. Potent. Strong. Powerful. That's all we know about God. He is all powerful. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me." Wow. So we find that to be a truth about God. So we know He knows everything. He is powerful over everything. And thank you. It had left me. Omnipresent. Speaks for itself, doesn't it? We're meeting in church right now, but there's people around the world that are not in church that are Christians. Some of them are in bed. They already had church. They already did their Sunday stuff, and it's now late Sunday night. God's everywhere with all of those people. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even in the end of the world." Can we know that from creation? No. Where do we get it? From the Word of God. See? And so we find out who God is. If I said, "Name me some attributes of God," what would you say? What's an attribute of God? What'd you say?
Forgiving.
Forgiving. Okay. Somebody said love. God's loving. Okay. Can you learn those things outside the Bible? It may be happening. You don't even know it is. Somebody had to say to us, "For God so loved the world." So the Bible becomes such a central thing. Reason I took last week and want us to understand, that is the basis. If we do not accept it as truth, then we are in a horrible position. And then we're looking at this week and we're trying to see, hey, what kind of person am I? And if I'm saved, am I spiritual or am I carnal? What do I allow to dictate to me? What caused me to do what I do? Interesting thought. So we go to the Word of God, we find out, hey, there's some things God wants us to do. We say, Spirit of God showed me from the Word of God, so that's what I'm going to do. We're now controlled by Him. Let me end with this note. I knew from the very beginning of my salvation that I should tithe. Now, I've heard all sorts of contentions about this, what have you. I find it before the law. I find it in the law. I find it after the law. I find Jesus putting His stamp of approval upon it. But I certainly find a principle there. And when I go to the book of Malachi especially, I learn something there that when I do that particular thing, my Bible says God will open the windows of heaven to me. So what have I done? Because the Spirit of God taught me that from the Word of God, I've sought to do that. So over the last 52 years, I have taken at least a tenth of my income and given it to God. Has God taken care of me? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Far above anything I would have ever expected. He's taken care. The only meals I've missed are ones I wanted to. that has been seldom. Do you ever wonder about some of these young people who, they don't want to eat? They don't want this, they don't want that. Wait till they get my age, some of them, and they find out some of that stuff doesn't taste good anymore. But always had plenty. He's taking care of. Always had clothes on my back. I've always had love of God's people, and so much, so much. And so God showed it to me. The Spirit of God placed that in my heart. I began to do that. It's been my practice ever since. That's just one illustration. God's good, amen. Said, but preacher, bad things happen to his people. Depends on how we look at it. Really, it does. And those so-called bad things, I find from the Word of God, is God teaching us some very valuable lessons. And marvelous as it is. Well, we got a great God, amen? And thank God for him. Francis, how do I get out of this thing? What do you got? I don't know how many pictures are in that thing. That's actually in the device that's on the TV. Marvelous thing. By the way, can you see that? Could you see the words? You who are in back, do I need to make it larger font? I'm saying yes, needs to be larger. Okay. Just wondering. So we will seek to do that. I hope that's been helpful to you as far as this particular thing, because you can see something. I was so enthralled when Brother Stauffer was here and he had a presentation and those slides would come up and he'd talk about Scripture and I could see it as well as hearing it. And it really made an indelible mark. God has given to us five avenues into our minds. Do you know that? Yeah. And one of those is sight, what we see. One of them is what we smell. One of them is what we taste. One of them is what we touch or feel. And I lost the other one on the head. It's what we hear. And so we learn that way. Our nation at this time, our young people especially, are very visually oriented. It's sad but true. I mean, they grew up playing games on computers, and so it's all visual. And they got tremendous visual concept and good thumbs. But it's the idea of this, seeking to try to help in that particular area. Well, let's have a word of prayer and you can be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for this time. And I pray that you might help us to really to examine ourselves, see where we're at. And then, Lord, as we go forward, that we might learn valuable truth about you and all that you have around about us. We might understand such things as salvation and security. We might understand some prophetic utterances and how they apply to us. We might realize what the true church of Jesus Christ is. Lord God, bless, we pray. Work in the hour to follow in Christ's name. Amen.